Folks, Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, July 16, 2023. We are here live. I want to thank the hijacker in Washington for doing the broadcast for me on short notice. I had some things come up. People close to me traveling and that sort of thing, and I had to... It was just too much for me to do the broadcast last week, so I want to thank the hijacker for filling in. You know, I'm really getting sometimes, you know, and I know this stuff has all been foretold that's facing us, and this great falling away, and this onslaught of wickedness and the loss of natural affection and brutality, man towards man, man towards beast. You just see these threads that keep civilization, together, just unraveling at a really wicked, quick pace, and it's mind-blowing, you know, and I've been trying to prepare mentally and all this for what's occurring, and it still grinds you up, it still really puts you through the meat grinder, and, you know, I'm sitting here at times, and I'm like, this broadcast, I've been doing it since 2014, and should I continue? You know, there's such a glut of people involved with radio, podcasting, vlogging, writing. And you know, when you have the ability to see patterns, some of us are good at it. I'm okay at it. Others are really, really good at it. And you see how this kind of alternative media is really kind of just, you know, vulture-like, to where everybody takes each other's articles and posts them to their site. It's like a cut and paste kind of thing. And just these phenomenons that we see in our own little echo chamber can, you know, it gets you down sometimes. You're just like, you know, the alternative media is just like the whore lie cartel that is run by the corporations, and of course behind those corporations the big venture capital firms, government, and so forth. And then the same thing with, unfortunately, academia being just these talking points, these agendas. It's just so sick to watch this go down. You know, like last couple of weeks, weird things. One of the things is, people at like the local watering hole where I hang out from time to time, a lot of their pets are dying. Crazy cancers in their dogs and so forth. And I don't know what's happening, whether this is something in the pet food supply. Remember how Schwab and all these sick pervert Satanists that are setting the agenda really started to go after the pets because of this climate baloney. Okay? You know, I've got all these articles up about the climate and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, you know, you're sitting here like, then those of us know that the climate is being manipulated. These heat domes and all this stuff, you know, it's, I got an article from State of the Nation up now, Operation Scorched Earth, okay? And it just talks about the BBC and other organizations, Cerebrus heat wave, hot weather sweeps across southern Europe, U.S. heat wave, dangerous temperatures could set new records, Europe heat wave, red alerts, 16 Italian cities. You know, they've got the normies that watch TV. Oh, don't go outside. It's dangerous out there. It's like they're, it's like a fear, a doom climate lockdown in itself, where people are, you know, don't go out in your homes. And now we're seeing all this stuff with the Canadian fires and all this stuff. Basically, and this ammonium nitrate that went missing, and this orange haze. So there is some truth to, I guess, how dangerous the weather could be. But it's all artificial. If we could get these demons that control government, military, the, you know, alphabet agencies of the world to leave the climate alone and quit manipulating it in order to blame us for our daily activities, maybe, you know, we could have halfway decent lives. But this chemical saturation, you know, we've had this white haze floating around in St. Louis over the last few weeks. It's kind of dissipated now, but you can still see something strange in the air. Strange film on your windows of your car in the mornings. But to the article, when geoengineered global warming became the 800-pound gorilla in everyone's living room. So just as the COVID pandemic officially began in January 2020, the spring-summer 2023 will long be remembered as the time when the geoengineered, key word there, global warming crisis really began in earnest. And you got these creeps, Long Devil John Kerry, out here talking about, well, the farming's what's putting all this, you know, stuff into the atmosphere, causing all this climate change, blah, blah, blah. Basically saying, yeah, we need to starve everybody out. We've got Kamala Harris, and I've got this clip. What are the clips looking like, Mr. Producer? They load up all right? Or okay, that's cool. Just let me know. Okay. So we had a little issue with the system down there in Texas about I had a bunch of clips, and then they all started to go haywire on him as the show approached. And so he did a reboot of the system, and now he's trying to get some of these back squared away. But So, yes, the New World Order globalist cabal has been running the CO2-driven climate change hoax for decades now, but 2020 years, the year when they pushed it out onto the worldwide stage for every human being to either witness from afar or experience directly. Well, remember CNN people got caught. I think it was when O'Keefe was still with Veritas, basically laying out the new agenda that COVID was winding down, and they said it was going to be climate change. They had it right there, film these jerks saying it. And this is what we're seeing. It's like, okay, they caught these people, recorded them, put it out here for all of us to see, and guess what? They're doing it anyway. It's just like Chris Ray with all these hearings, with all these Washington generals, Republicans. All right, you got the Democrats who are the Harlem Globetrotters, and then you got the Republicans who are the Washington generals. And the Washington generals have been, you know, bringing all these people up in front of the freaking various committees. And then you all the alternative media people, oh man, did you see Matt Gaetz just stick a fork in Christopher Ray, you know, and all that, and it always what happens? It just all dies back down, goes right back into, you know, normal tyrannical onslaught. What happened to these articles of impeachment with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and some of these other congressmen? Where are they? McCarthy, okay, one of these California gangster uniparty people, Kevin McCarthy, okay, and I've read his bio. Got that Mick last name, and he's Italian, and of course he's under this Vatican II Jesuit mob. So where do I want to start? I want to start with, well, we're back to this geoengineered thing. Now that the NWO perps have milked the COVID-19 bioweapons to death and are now under serious scrutiny for that full-scale bio-war against humanity, they're compelled to trot out their next dog and pony show for maximum distraction. However, make no mistake, the entirely man-made climate boogeyman is the next international crisis, which is necessary for the full implementation of their totalitarian Great Reset. Now, you've even got some of these Nobel winners in science, okay? Dr. John Clauser, there is no climate crisis threatening the planet, okay? Nobel laureate in physics, John Clauser, lashed out at the science heretics who continue to push global warming and who threaten the well-being of millions of people. Clauser criticized the prevalent climate models as being unreliable and not accounting for the dramatic temperature stabilizing feedback of clouds, which he says is more than 50 times as powerful as the radiative forcing effect of CO2. Clauser believes there's no climate crisis threatening the planet. Dr. Patrick Moore, co-founder of Greenpeace, retweeted Dr. Clauser's recent statements this week, and so forth. So you've got, I guess, kind of semi-heavyweight science people that are starting to come out saying, hey, look, this is crap. You know, we've got to stop this. You know, Michael Yon, who's been floating around with Mike Adams and Jones and these guys, and really he kind of came on with Mike Adams talking about the war on fertilizer with the BASF plant, huge city-sized facility in Germany. And so now you're really looking at these jerks, this war on farming, and you can find John Kerry blaming farmers and all this stuff. Just real, real insane level stuff here. So Where it's going to go, unfortunately, we kind of know. And it's not a pretty picture, unfortunately. I just, you know. So let's see here. Let's talk about Canada. Now, nowhere are these many acts of NWO-directed geoterrorism more obvious than Canada in 2023. In point of fact, the current wave of pyroterrorism carried out all over Kanuckistan was proven by many experts in the firefighting field to have been caused by arsonists. Throughout this entire year, the NWO geoterrorists have been stealthily setting up Canada's macro and micro environments as a highly combustible tinderbox for several reasons beyond the scope of this expose. Canada was selected as the poster child for global warming, and this is precisely why ultra-woke Justin Trudeau was installed by Rothschild badman George Soros as prime minister, and why Canada is presently being burned down as the toxic smoke is strategically moved over the lower 48. All right? So, you know, that's basically what's going on here, unfortunately, and this orange haze and very, very crazy stuff. I'm going to start at the bottom of the next hour for this whole kind of rehash of some of this Jesuit history, I was rewatching a documentary, and I was like, you know what, I've got to put this out on the broadcast, just some minutes of it. Let's see here. Let's talk about Kamala Harris. Mr. Producer, get that clip 6 ready. Now, everybody's heard the Freudian slip. If it was a Freudian slip, you know, this could be revelation of the method type thing where they purposely put this out there and then they later say, oh, that was a Freudian slip, but yet they just put the knucklehead Harris, you know, airhead up there to read that. And then everybody clapped at this little presentation she was doing, and I'm just going to put this in the broadcast for posterity. Go ahead and roll clip 6.
Think about the impact on something like public health. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
All right, so. Now they're saying that she should have said pollution, okay, because they're talking about electric vehicles and clean air and all that. So we do this electric vehicle stuff. And now we all know that it's like, okay, you're just going to stress the grid even more with everybody charging these huge batteries on these Teslas and these other, you know, brands putting out these electric vehicles. So at the very same time, Texas power plant, you know, regulators and so forth are saying, hey, everybody chill out, man. You're stressing the grid. These kooks want to tell us to all, hey, it's better for the environment if you got this big freaking outlet in your garage and you plug in your car. And, you know, this is that cognitive dissonance. This is this double speak. And you got these idiots gluing themselves to these runways and running out in front of these trucks. You know, I was watching some videos today as I was getting the broadcast right. People are getting real sick of these people laying out in the roads. And so I'm watching some of this in Britain. There's women coming out there and grabbing these other women that are in the road by their hair and dragging them off the road so these lorries, is what they call them, can get by and the traffic can start moving. And they come running back out, jump back. You know, I haven't seen any people start kicking these people in the face yet, but it's coming. There's going to be some people that will be like, oh, let me grab my COVID mask. And they're going to come out there and they're going to start, you know, kicking field goals with these people's face, and they deserve it. Okay, and they're probably getting paid. And if they're not, they are real stupid to put themselves out in front of traffic. This whole stop oil crap. We know all these big left-wing foundations and so forth. They funnel this money down to the idiot level. It's the same people, so the Antifa goofballs can get their freaking meth money. You know, you look at some of these collages of some of these people, like when in Portland, down to the last one, they're tweakers on meth. And probably other, you know, poly substance abuse. But gosh, it's like, yeah, you know, you... And then the same people that are funneling this money to them are in bed with the cartels who are doing all this child trafficking. We're doing all this drug running, especially they've cornered the market on the methamphetamine. It used to be a lot of the bikers were, you know, heavy into that over the years, but it's these Mexicans down there, and they're growing this real dirty fungus laden ice, they call it, down there. You talk to some of these people about how some of them make this wasp spray and all this stuff, and then they bury a cooler like in the ground, like a styrofoam cooler, and they use wasp spray and a bunch of other chemicals, and then this stuff grows like a fungus, and this is how some of them make this ice. And then these people use it, and they just immediately start breaking out in open sores and all this stuff very, very quick. I mean, it's just like, geez. You know, and we've already talked about the tranq dope that's floating around with all the fentanyl and the xylazine, the tranquilizer and all that that causes the open source. But there's that whole open source thing on the other side with this dirty Mexican ice that is, you know, really fungus based. And it's just like you could put some on somebody's human skin, it's going to start eating a hole in it, you know. And so very, very crazy stuff. But yeah, so she was supposed to say pollution, and she said reduced population. Now, we all know that they've been talking about this for years. You know, I think the anniversary of the explosion of the Georgia Guidestones was right around here in close proximity to where we're at right now, a year ago. And, you know, think about that. Think about how far things have gone since they blew up the Georgia Guidestones. And how many people have died? Let me see here. I've got Mr. Producer, get clip 11 ready. So, people's animals. Okay, so there's some sort of an attack on the pets here in the United States. And remember, I'm throwing pets out the windows in China, allegedly, when the COVID thing ramped up this operation. Remember, they were, oh, your pet's carrying it. And then people are euthanizing their pets and all this crap. But let's play a little bit of clip 11, Turbo Cancers.
And what about the cancer explosion? All these wildfire cancers and reoccurring cancers that we hear about, what could possibly be causing those?
A small percentage of the new cancer diagnoses would unfortunately be stage 4 at first diagnosis. But in my practice now, it's approximately 2/3 of all cancer diagnoses since the vax rollout are stage 4. And so, you know, pathologists around the world have noticed this, that unfortunately now the people who had previous cancers which were in remission are flaring up since their shots because of the damage to their immune system by the COVID shots. But new cancers being diagnosed, the tumors are bigger than ever. They seem to grow very aggressively, spread very aggressively, and be very resistant to treatment.
And I have started to notice that several of my patients have melanoma who've been stable, stage 4 disease. They've had very good immunotherapy or other treatments, and I've been reviewing them from 5 to 20 years. I've noticed that I have now over 6, possibly 7, even an 8th yesterday, who've clearly relapsed following the booster vaccine.
One very interesting case was that of Professor Michelle Goldman, one of Europe's leading figures in immunology research. As a chief editor at the Journal of Frontiers in Medicine, he wrote up a case study on himself called Rapid Progression of T-Cell Lymphoma Following Pfizer's Vaccine Booster Shot. In the first full-body CT scan he received, we can see those black dots, which is cancer. He realized that he would need to start chemotherapy, so he decided to get a vaccine booster first. Then he undertook another CT scan, and horrifically, it can be seen that within less than a month, cancer has spread throughout a greater part of his upper body. Again, all of those black dots are cancer that the CT scan is picking up. There are also anecdotal reports of nosebleeds, hair falling out, and even teeth breaking and dropping out after vaccination. A weakened immune system and greater likelihood of infection is also common. This is caused by stem cells in the bone marrow being killed off. What could possibly be causing all these symptoms? Aside from all this, which we will get back to, we get a clue from the work of Dr. Daniel Nagasi. In electron microscope analysis of the Pfizer sample, we find a strange fiber-like structure, which is composed of an element called thulium, periodic table name TM. It's from the lanthanide series. Thulium has the distinction of being known as the rarest of rare earth metals. It's soft and can be cut with a knife. It's also relatively expensive. It has absolutely no business being in a vaccine. But one of the more interesting isotopes of thulium is TM-170. It ejects soft gamma radiation as it decays, producing soft X-rays. These X-rays are typically of low energy and are used in medical imaging and other applications that do not require the higher energy levels of hard X-rays.
All right, go ahead and pause it there. We'll see y'all on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm going to use this as a segue. Mr. Producer, you still got that that last video queued up? I want to listen to a little bit more of that, if you could. Go ahead and play a little bit more of that.
It is used in compact sources of exterior radiation, which are used for obtaining dental images and in search of micro cracks in welds and pipes. The miniature thulium devices are suitable for X-ray diagnostics in the tissues and organs that are difficult and sometimes impossible to scan with conventional X-ray machines. The symptoms we listed before all appear to be those identical to that of radiation poisoning. So we would be looking for a causal element that was likely radioactive. Cesium-137 has been mentioned, but with a long half-life of 30 years, it would be easily detectable. They could be digging bodies up in 30 years' time and still finding it. Thulium has the benefit of having a short half-life of only 128 days, meaning it's quite short-lived. It would be spent and undetectable after a year or so. We don't know for sure which isotope of thulium was detected, but it does fit the profile we are looking for perfectly. And is that why people who are around the newly vaccinated often report feeling that they are radiating something? In one instance, an unvaccinated hairdresser reports having a pouring nosebleed after cutting the hair of a vaccinated woman.
It just pours and pours and pours. Oh, I don't know what to do. Give me the towel, please.
Others reported giving up masseuse businesses because they couldn't stand the ill health effects they were experiencing from the vaxxed.
I'm having a break from it because things are changing and I'm getting sick.
Are these people feeling sick because it's like standing next to a small X-ray machine that's been permanently turned on? Other strange conditions like parosmia, a condition that distorts the sense of smell and taste, is also linked to radiation treatment and radioactive exposure.
All right, so let's go
another interesting
there. So, you know, going back to the last couple of years where we've kind of fleshed out a lot of this, let's just say hypotheses, theories, whatever you want to call it, about the kitchen sink nature of how they rolled this out and the distinct possibility of numerous experiments simultaneously happening throughout these batches that went out across the world, but especially here in the United States, for us to kind of keep our eye on. You know, it's hard to, we got a big, huge country, but think about that. Think about some of these lots actually having this short half-life helium in there, where it's sitting there like beaming out radiation in this person's body. And, you know, short half-life, hey, kill you, you know, over so long of a period of time. I mean, even if you got like one of these hot doses with this in there, you know, you've got the nanotech wiring system, which is really there to put you into the internet of bodies and, you know, and all that. And we'll have to talk about Robert F. Kennedy's comments about the Ashkenazis being mysteriously exempted from a lot of the adverse events and so forth. But think about that being one of the experiments where you're like, yeah, we're going to lot 37B12-14. That one's going out to St. Louis, and that one's full of thelium, where all these people are going to get basically micro-nuked into their body, and you won't be able to trace it in a year because the half-life will be gone, but the damage will be done. You know, these melanomas, like I told you, I have family members, two of them with melanomas that took these shots. Very, very crazy just to think about that, okay? But now let's transition into the Jesuits for a minute, okay? Santa Clara University students must take COVID vaccines or withdraw. And this is still right now, okay? College COVID vaccine mandates remain some of the most coercive mandates ever declared. While most colleges have now rescinded their mandates, some colleges refuse to let go. And Santa Clara University in California is one of the most oppressive. Okay? Bring up Santa Clara University, a private Jesuit university in Santa Clara, California. So Vatican City and Israel being two of the most draconian vaccine pushers. You know, everybody in the state had to get it, blah, 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 blah. Established in 1851, Santa Clara is the oldest operating institution of higher learning in California. And guess what their motto is? Ad majorem Dei gloriam, for the greater glory of God. We know that's the Jesuit motto. And that's there in San Jose. Well, you've also got San Francisco, University of San Francisco, private Jesuit university in San Francisco, California. Now, these two, as you have Fordham in the Bronx, as you have St. Louis University here in St. Louis, as you have Georgetown in Washington, D.C., these are two very powerful political heavyweights in the background, okay? And which leads me to set up about the whole thing with Santa Clara with the vaccine push. Isn't that strange, this Jesuit university, which still have this draconian vaccine requirement. So By midsummer, Santa Clara announced that students will be required to receive the vaccine if it remained authorized only for emergency use authorization and blah, 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 blah. Now, on May 8th, 1 week after the fall 2023 enrollment deadline, Santa Clara quietly updated its COVID vaccine policy to require one bivalent dose for incoming freshmen but not returning students, regardless of how many COVID vaccines they had previously taken. What's in these bivalent doses? They got to finish the nanostructure, the nanotubing, the Internet of Bodies hookup, the Bluetooth signal emitting crap. SCU backdated this announcement to May 1st, thinking no one would take notice, but in private emails from incoming students learned that some were furious. We encouraged them to withdraw and accept another offer. On May 31st, Santa Clara updated its policy again. They now require either three previously taken monovalent doses or one bivalent dose for all community members. As with the university's previous mandates, SCU offers no religious exemption. Oh, it's a Catholic Jesuit university. No religious exemption and limited medical exemptions for students, even in the most extreme of circumstances, as explained below. And it goes into this whole thing. Just mind-blowing. But don't get it twisted. This faction, they're... When I play this video, think about this. Think when you're talking Jesuits, think about things that I've already put out on the broadcast about how in the 16th century they were already talking about how many of the circumcision were already embedded in the order. So when I'm talking Jesuit, I'm talking Jewish mafia. Okay, you read about these faction wars in the Catholic Church between the Knights of Malta and the Jesuits, and then even in these times, you remember the stuff with Cardinal Burke being in charge of the Knights of Malta, and then all this big dust up and anti-Pope Francis freaking stripping the leadership of the Knights of Malta and all that stuff. This still goes on to this day. But the traditional conservative Latin Mass Catholics at war with the modernist socialist collectivist gangster pushing Jesuits. And so let's listen, Mr. Producer, let's get clip three started in that first part. And we're going to listen to this for a bit, just to refamiliarize people with some history. And then we're going to talk about some of the presidential assassinations and that sort of thing. So let's begin with that first part on clip three.
Years. They're soldiers. They're more of a Marine Corps than the Marines. The Marines were fashioned after the Jesuit order. You break the man down in boot camp, you rob him of his personality, you shave his head, you put all the same clothes on him, they're all treated the same, they're treated like dirt, we're going to rob you of your will so that we can mold you into what we want you. That's all Jesuit. So, this is how they think. In a given the order, they will kill you, me, themselves, their mother, anything they're ordered to do, that is what they will do. We're going to bring down 9/11 today, gentlemen. Okay, give me the order. What we do, what button we push, do I need to be inside, outside, what is it? And that's what they'll do. We need to bring down the Pentagon today. We need to blow up the Arizona in Pearl Harbor in 1941. Okay, I'll be there. What's my orders? They're all under orders. And this is why you can have no country with a Jesuit presence in it. They have to be expelled. And all their agents that they work through must be expelled. And this is exactly what Tsar Alexander I did in 1820. He kicked out all the Jesuits out of Russia. In 1822, he shut down all the Masonic lodges. And in 1825, he was poisoned. So this is the Jesuit mindset, and we should read the spiritual exercises. We should read some of their works. We need to read the Jesuit doctrines of regicide, how it's no murder to kill a heretic, how it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal, how it's okay to kill your enemy, how it's okay to kill a woman that you commit adultery with. If she should want to tell on you, you can kill her. It's all right in there in their canon law. It's okay to steal. The whole world is their candy shop, where they can steal everything they can get their hands on to consolidate it under the power of the Jesuit order. And if that means killing kings or sinking ships, even if it causes their own death, they do it for the greater glory of God. Ad majorem Dei gloriam.
When a Jesuit priest is elevated to a position of high command, he is administered what is called the Jesuit Extreme Oath of Induction. This oath has been called the Fourth Vow, or the Blood Oath, given to those in the Society of Jesus besides the traditional vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. A copy of the Extreme Oath can be found in the Congressional Record.
I want to read a statement to you, which is the Jesuit Oath. It says, this is the Jesuit Oath. I do further promise and declare that I will have no opinion or will of my own, that's from the Spiritual Exercises of Loyola, or any mental reservation whatever, even as a corpse or cadaver, but will unhesitatingly obey each and every command that I may receive from my superiors in the militia of the Pope. I furthermore promise and declare that I will make and wage relentless war, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate Protestants and liberals from the face of the whole earth. I will neither spare age, sex, or condition. I will hang, burn, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the wall in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. And then it goes on. The point being, throughout the history of the Jesuit order, they will shoot, they will burn, they will flay, they will do whatever it takes to destroy anybody who stands in the way of what they want to do.
In 2009, the Jesuit general was confronted about the oath.
One of the things in your Jesuit high oath, I think it says something about, furthermore, you promise to declare that we'll, at the first opportunity, seek war at any opportunity against heretics, Protestants, liberals.
What is that?
See here? And that will spare neither age nor sex nor condition, and I will hang, waste, boil, flay. You've never seen this before?
No, I've never seen it.
Strangle, bury alive, and it's horrible. And I was like, look, it's...
It's in the Congressional Record.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming.
Does the oath and activities of the Jesuit reflect anything Christian? Or is it as Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. What else do we know about the Jesuits? They have been thrown out of 83 countries over the last 500 years. That is correct. 83 countries have physically removed them. And why was it necessary to remove them? In a word, power. The Jesuits have throughout history sought to take over and control every country in which they reside. Since their beginning in 1540, the Jesuits' power grew until they controlled the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church, and many of the governments of the world. In 1773, all of that changed. One by one, countries began to expel the Jesuits from their borders. This culminated in the suppression or abolishment of the Jesuits in 1773. In that year, Pope Clement XIV officially disbanded the order forever. This providential act enabled a nation based on religious liberty to be formed, the United States of America.
All right, you can stop it there and then go ahead and forward to the 4427 mark. But then it goes on to talk about after these nations and nobles, kings, and so forth, expelling this faction from their countries. Then you had the revenge that comes, the French Revolution, the cutting off of the king's head, Marie Antoinette, all that, the Jacobins. But it's very interesting when, and we've got a few more minutes. Let's start that second part. Go ahead at 44:27.
Having no further need of Napoleon, the Jesuits made sure he was sent far away to the island St. Helena in the South Atlantic. While there, he was poisoned and died in 1821. In his memoirs, Napoleon maintained his loyalty to the Catholic Church, but had this to say about the Jesuits. The Jesuits are a military organization, not a religious order. Their chief is a general of an army, not the mere father abbot of a monastery. And the aim of this organization is power. Power in its most despotic exercise, absolute power, universal power, power to control the world by the volition of a single man. We have stated that the Jesuits were deeply involved in the Congress of Vienna. Ostensibly, this meeting of the monarchs of Europe, under the direction of the Jesuits, was for the purpose of reorganizing Europe, restoring the balance of power, and discussing the creation of a Federation of Europe. According to author Burke McCarty, the Congress of Vienna and several other secret meetings were in reality black conspiracy against popular governments.
After the Constitution is signed, Protestant principles are put in place in the United States. You go into the early 1800s. The Napoleonic Wars are being fought in Europe, in Russia. But finally, the Napoleonic Wars have stopped. All of the monarchs of Europe convene in Vienna, Austria. The man who headed it was Clemens von Metternich of Austria. Russia was there, England was there, France was there. They all came there to Vienna to decide on a big problem in the world. There were governments of the people, by the people, and for the people that were being established. And these monarchs of Europe and the Pope himself, Pope Pius VII, and the newly formed, reestablished Jesuit order in 1814, they all came together and they said, if we don't destroy these free popular governments, eventually the principles of those governments will destroy us. So at the Congress of Vienna, it was voted that they would pursue the destruction of any free governments in this world. And in 1814, the one government that was the thorn in their side was the United States of America.
8 years after the Congress of Vienna, the same parties met in Verona, Italy, for a second meeting to discuss the United States of America and the threat of popular governments. For posterity's sake, on April 25th, 1916, Senator Robert L. Owen of the United States Congress entered into the congressional record the secret Treaty of Verona that was signed by the monarchs of Europe. These kings of Europe, under the control of the Pope, called themselves the Holy Alliance. The first article stated, "The high contracting powers engage mutually in the most solemn manner to use all their efforts to put an end to this system of representative governments." The third article gave special thanks to the Pope for what he has already done for them and solicit his constant cooperation in their views of submitting the nations.
Now, the Treaty of Verona was an agreement between the Catholic monarchies of Europe and the Vatican to destroy the concept of representative government worldwide.
Samuel B. Moore shows conclusively that Metternich and the Jesuit order and Pope Pius VII, they all agreed that the way that they would destroy the United States would be by sending as many Catholic immigrants to the American shores as they possibly could. So thousands and thousands of Catholics were sent to the United States. Thousands and thousands of Catholic priests and many Jesuit coadjutors were sent to America.
Well, Joe Biden got our border open down, didn't he?
This government.
The treaty was signed on November 22, 1822, in Verona, Italy, by Metternich of Austria, Chateaubriand
for France.
Pause
it there for a second, Mr. Bernstein producer. November 22, 1822. What else happened on November 22nd, folks? JFK gets smoked in the head 141 years later to the day. Go ahead and resume that, Mr. Producer.
Prussia and Nesselrode for Russia. After reading the secret treaty, Senator Owens pointed out that the threat under the secret treaty of Verona to suppress popular governments in the American republics is the basis of the Monroe Doctrine. This secret treaty sets forth clearly the conflict between monarchical government and popular government, and the government of the few as against the government of the many.
All right, go ahead and pause it there. We'll resume this after the break, but think about the penetration of Central and South America and the liberation theology and everything else that's happened since. All right, we'll see you after the break.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.